Yeah, what's up, buddy?
How's it going, man?
So I disinvited Will and Hank.
Perfect.
Oh, dear.
There he
what's
is.
Going on?
I'm going to tell you, I uninvited Will Updike. It's weird, but it's going to be Matt Barnes filling in for him. So that's kind
of big get.
All the smoke. Drunken Zoom. It was a mess. Hey! Guys.
Oh, my God.
What's up, buddy?
I used this just like yesterday, and it's like, now you got to update.
Dude, you're so punk rock right now. I love the new hair.
Oh, yeah. You guys have
a good
hair.
My God, it looks so good, except you're real dark. Can you get some light on it so I can really see it?
It's an audio show.
But I like to see my friends.
That's the sound of the horn. Welcome to an all-new extra special, The Locked On Clipcast. I'm your host, Chris Cowild. With me, as always, is William the Opinion Updike.
What?
Charles Mockler.
No!
Burbank. Hank.
We didn't mean to bump you, Hank.
I'm last billing, and both of you drank to it. Both of you tipped your beers the second
even
that it
sipped yet.
You know, injustice. It's like and Henry Dittman as Burbank Hank. You should be
honored.
He had
to fight for the and,
Oh, that's good.
These guys
that's
are
good.
Guests, for God's sake. Who got,
they really are. Who guys, thanks for
billing?
Coming on.
Who got top
Thank
billing
you.
Of the Murder, She Wrote Magnum P.I. crossover? Was it Magnum or J.B. Fletcher?
Oh, I assume Magnum got top billing.
All right, let's please jump right into the Clippers. All right,
you don't
so,
think this is fascinating?
Okay.
This is quarantine talk.
Where is the mute Burbank button? Okay, so I want to go right to Will Updike.
All right.
What do you want to happen in Disney World? What do you think will happen in Disney World?
What do I want to happen? I want it to be like the new Olympics. I want there to be the spirit of competition. But it's all the best teams. Already, and I want the guys to be hanging out every single day, hooping, socially distant, very respectable, of course. But I want it to be like a summer camp for the Clippers. Can you imagine Patrick Beverley coming in and turning over your bunk in the middle of the night?
Classic short sheet. He'll short sheet you.
Yeah,
put your hand
in the warm water.
In the warm water, so you make a. So you make a pee-pee. A hot foot!
Yeah. All right, so Charles, what do you think the NBA is going to do in Disney World? Like, what do you think their playoff scenario is going to be? And what do you want it to be?
I want it to be just a regular-ass playoff
Thank
scenario.
You. Oh, my God.
Like, I don't want the group stage. I mean, so the play-in
Single
game...
elimination, guys.
Yeah. The play-in game is interesting. Like, I like that idea. But then you have to also convince teams, you maybe have to convince extra teams to come, which seems really difficult. I think just take the top eight and it's like, I don't know.
So you think they should just bounce right into the playoffs?
Maybe, yeah, like a week ramp up or something like that, where like you get everyone there for 2 weeks or something to get like used to the routine and the flow. And then, maybe do 5-game series for the first round.
I think
they should have training camps and scrimmages or whatever, but like I don't see any point in playing any more regular season games. Like, what's
has anybody talked about that? Doing like scrimmage and exhibition type games? That's fun.
That'd be cool.
There's like four different scenarios, and no one can agree which one the most likely is. My personal thing that I'd like to see, like you said, Chuck, is a just regular playoffs, Western Conference on one side, Eastern Conference on the other. I don't want one to play 16 unless Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant are healthy for the Nets and they beat the Lakers. Then I would love that for a 2-15 or whatever the hell that would be. But I want 1-8, West and East. And my answer kind of to the wrap up the regular season and get the guys ramped up is maybe the Eastern Conference plays the Western Conference in those 8 games or six
oh, that's
games
not a bad
or whatever
call.
It is.
That's kind of fun. Maybe you could have 1-1, 2-2, 3-2, 3, like all the way down the seating, just to give them a game each to sort of get them sped up.
I don't like playing one because I don't want any sort of finals preview.
Oh, good call. Sense. Good call. Yeah, that makes sense.
I wouldn't mind like if one in the West played 8 in the East and on the way down, you know, and then shake it up. But like, look, they're not going to listen to me, and who knows what the hell they're going to do.
You don't think they're listening right now?
Of course they are.
Bugs, everywhere. Yeah.
No, they listen to all of our podcasts.
I think the ghost of David Stern is locked on to Clipcast.
Too soon. I in general am a proponent for the wild card. I love wild card in other sports. I wish we had that in the NBA. I wish there was a single game chance for teams that are like 9 through 12 to bust into the playoffs or whatever that is. But
yeah,
I also think you can't. This is already a gift if we go back and finish this season. So if you start getting cute, not only already is there a risk of whoever wins the championship having an asterisk by their trophy. And it would be the most Clipper thing ever. The only thing more Clipper than us winning the chip this year and it having the asterisk of it happening during this year would be if we made it all the way to the final game of the finals and somebody got COVID-19 like 5 minutes before the game
and we didn't get to.
That's the only thing more Clipper than us winning during this time.
I think the most
losing.
I don't want to mess around. Yes, yeah, fair. But I don't want to mess around.
First F-bomb of the. You think you always drop the F-bombs since lockdown? Since lockdown, Hank, you're always dropping F-bombs. Most Clipper thing to happen would be we win the championship and everybody's like, oh, asterisk, which, by the way, I'll take because they're not going to put an asterisk on the Larry O.B. But
I'll wear a T-shirt with an asterisk on it to every game after we win the next season.
I think
season,
the most slightly. Clipper thing is we win the finals, but we can't do it here in L.A. in front of our home crowd. We don't even
know parade
as media and no parade exactly because of social distancing. And there's literally a virtual VR parade. That's like the most Clipper thing.
If they got a Zoom hang though, if there was a Zoom hang set up where all the players, because Lou Will would have a party.
Right. Oh yeah.
So the scenario, if when the Clippers win is Lou Will has a huge party and everyone goes there and then, you know, they do like a Zoom hang or something like that. And everyone can see part of what's going on. Obviously
Stephen
Ballmer
is going to invent Zoom 3D, like the old MP3 player, but like we're going to be virtual reality into the thing.
Put on like full body Ready Player One suits.
Yeah, it'll work.
All right, so we know the NBA is coming back in July. We don't know exactly how. I read that they wanted to do a 72-game regular season. Who knows if they're actually going to do that. I read 1 through 16, and then Brian Windhorst texted me personally via Twitter to everyone. The NBA will never do that. So I do think that it will be the classic West and East. There could be that buy-in. Way back in the day, they used to do like this weird best out of three series to go into the second round. And if you were 1, 2, and 3, maybe
yeah,
you got
it
to
ruined,
bypass it.
Yeah, and it ruined like playoff matchups because there was a series where – like the Mavs and the Spurs were the 1 and 2 seed and they ended up playing like in round 2 because of that goofy system.
No sense,
and it was like a great series, but like it was the second round.
And even
so it,
like
didn't
and even not that long ago in 2006, remember when the Clippers like intentionally lost because to get them, they would match up with the division winner Denver Nuggets who were actually worse than they were. It's just nutty. I like the way it is now, and I'd like it to continue that way.
Although there is something to be said for the 5-game series in the first round when, like, you don't you don't really want to watch the one seed.
But at this point, Hank,
play so
it's
many
been
games
so long against, without basketball, I wouldn't mind the first round being best of 10 or 11.
Oh, my God, I'd watch any basketball right now.
Basketball. All right, so we don't know what's going to happen when they come back in July. We just know that it's most likely going to happen at Disney World, and the entire world will be watching. I think ratings are going to be through the
roof. Oh, yeah.
Now, let's talk because the four of us are literally, I think, certainly the most entertaining and well-versed Clipper fans and podcasters of all time. So I say the four of us.
Also handsome. Sorry.
Oh,
I've almost got to distractingly so. That's why it's specifically audio formats for all of our shows.
Yeah.
It takes you away from the Clipper action. So look, if there was a Clippers podcasting Mount Rushmore, of course the four of us would be on said Mount Rushmore.
Thank you, Chris.
I would like to go one at a time. Who are your four Mount Rushmore Clippers franchise best ever players in the history of the franchise?
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Who is on that Clippers Mount Rushmore? And please nominate your player one at a time. Let's go around in a circle. I'm going to start with positive Charles Mockler because he's going to keep it so positive.
I'm taking the softball, and I'm putting Blake up there.
Yes,
it's like, you know, like that's one that everyone. There's not a lot of things that any fan base can 100% agree on, but I think if a Mount Rushmore is made of the Clippers, no one is denying Blake's spot.
Is he the center face? He's definitely the biggest face.
He's got a big face.
Placement is a good call, actually. He would be second from the left.
Okay.
He's middle two.
Oh, that's a power position.
Yeah, he's middle two. He's like he's the left middle.
Yeah, that's I think that's exactly where you would be.
They take a Hollywood sign and they put the Clippers Mount Rushmore in, and he's the left.
He's key to the entire modern era of the Clippers, because Chris and I would talk about this forever as fans. We still are fans. We would always talk about this as fans, is who we need someone to be great here so that people want to come here. And the second we got him, that's how we got Chris Paul. Like, there's no way we get Chris Paul without Blake Griffin jumping through the roof. And it was the beginning of everything.
And also all like the sold out games at home, that wonderful streak we had. We also, that year that Blake was a rookie, we started all of a sudden selling a lot of tickets on the road, and we were one of the biggest, if not the biggest, road draws in the NBA, so people could see Blake Griffin, arguably the greatest in-game dunker of all time, do his in-game dunks. So I guess all four of us are agreeing that Blake is on Mount Rushmore.
Now, I do want to tell a quick story about Blake. When I was at the Las Vegas Summer League his rookie year, that he did it. Remember, he didn't play. But I went to the Las Vegas Summer League and watched all of his games. And for one whole game, at the end of the game, every time he'd leave the court, I'm yelling, Blake, give me your jersey! Give me your jersey! Because I was such a jersey head at the time, as you can see. And finally, on his last game, as I'm screaming it, he looks up to my general direction and screams, I need it for the next game! I need it!
And he wasn't even
playing. They give us one jersey! No, they had one more game.
He played in the Summer League. But that
oh,
was,
yeah, he played in the Summer League.
That was the pre-season where he got injured.
Yes.
Okay.
I needed it for the next game.
All right. So we're all in agreement.
He needed it, dude. He needed it.
That Blake is on the Mount Rushmore. I never, ever envisioned us arguing or debating where the placement.
That's a big part of it. I don't even know.
I would say left, like second from all the way left, is probably your best placement.
Yeah, that's a power position, I think.
You scan from left to right, but all the way left. You don't want to be all the way left. That's
that gets lost.
Well, we do, William, but I think it's very, like, it's really a bit racist, honestly, to assume that everybody does. So I'm just going to say that. Not everybody does.
Some are going right to left. That's
some people are going right to left.
F-bombs and the race card in these uncertain times.
It's too soon. It's too soon.
Let's go right now to your number two Mount Rushmore Clipper franchise head, to William, the opinion Updike. I'm so excited to hear your opinion on who should be number two on the Mount Rushmore.
All right. So in my opinion, no matter what happens, you don't have a Clippers Mount Rushmore without Kawhi. I'm sorry. He's the biggest free agent to ever come here. He's the greatest player in basketball. I don't know. I think in my heart, even if it doesn't happen, if by some terrible series of events it doesn't happen in the next 2 years, he's still on my Clippers Mount Rushmore, because that last summer, I mean, I think we were all in the same position about a year ago, almost having a heart attack.
I agree with your opinion, William, the opinion of Dick, because here's why. Kawhi Leonard gets the Clippers into the playoffs with the best playoff seeding in franchise history. We've never been better than three, but here
we are. Not yet, he didn't. We're not in the playoffs.
In the West. Shut Okay. We are number two. We are number two. It is the best seeding. And even if we do some weird five-game ramp up, we are going to be number two. We have the, if the playoffs were tomorrow, which they may be whenever this thing starts up again, we are number two. So I also say Kawhi Leonard. Boys, Charles, who's your second Clipper on the Mount Rushmore?
I was thinking about this before we started this episode, and Kawhi in terms of ability, and
he's the greatest player in basketball. He deserves he deserves a spot on the damn monument.
I agree with you.
But nothing his. I'm not arguing that he's not the best, truly, literally the best player of basketball.
I'm trying to load manage our Mount Rushmore.
But if he wins the champ, if we get a championship at the end of this, 100% put him on there. But until then, that's just my thing, is that I agree him coming here was gigantic, like Paul George too. So I mean, if we get the championship, you put Kawhi and Paul George up there. But for me right now,
yeah, I would say if we get the championship, it's the four guys who won us the championship on the Mount Rushmore. I would maybe Blake and the top three guys. And, you know, that's a separate.
Fair.
But right now, as it stands, you're not putting Kawhi on. Okay.
And who's
who's your second guy?
Second guy, I mean, there's another obvious one that we haven't talked about yet, but I'll save that for another one. But I think it would be, and this is a heart pick, it might be Odom.
Okay.
Because we can't put the full knuckleheads in, right? Because that's pretty much the whole Mount Rushmore.
Sure.
So Odom would be your pick.
One would argue that EB should probably be it of that group, but go on.
I would say, if you're arguing one of them, you can only pick one or the other. I would go.
I just like Odom a little more.
For sure.
But
isn't he more of a Laker, though?
That's fair. Yeah. And like, Brandon would
even
win
too. Laker on the clip. This is the Clippers Mount Rushmore, sir.
But also, Kawhi's won a championship with the Spurs.
And the Raptors just last season. I don't know if you guys knew that.
Neither of those teams are Clippers rivals.
Well, fair.
I always Lakers thought it would be cool before we moved to Inglewood for there to be a split half Laker, half Clipper retired number seven for Odom.
That would be great.
I know, right?
I like that.
A handshake across the aisle.
How cool. I mean, in our last few seasons to do something like that would be excellent.
I'd also nominate, and this is a
what did I miss?
Mockler just said Odom number
I said
two.
Odom.
Oh my god!
Yeah, you're back from Burbank and the dark side of the moon.
And then I was gonna ask if Ballmer could be considered, even though he's not a player.
See, I think it should just be players like because the no-brainer would be Ballmer, Viviano, and Ralph Waller.
It's a big monument of Steve Ballmer's head, and then the players are just chiseled into the forehead.
That
the
works,
mountain
actually.
Is Ballmer.
That
the
works.
Mountain is Steve
yeah,
Ballmer.
Mount Ballmer. They build the mountain for it.
All right, Hank, who's your second Mount Rushmore head?
Well, look, I don't want to just live in the modern era, so I did a little digging into the numbers of, like, the history of the franchise. So if you're going to think about the entire franchise and you start talking about – the Bill Waltons and the Sven Naders and all that stuff. Bob McAdoo has to be on there. Bob McAdoo.
Oh, like, yeah. 100% agree.
Five-time All-Star Rookie of the Year, regular season MVP.
The only MVP in franchise history as a Buffalo Brave.
Yeah.
The only one to ever get it was MVP. And Bob McAdoo is 100% on my Mount Rushmore. He's my second pick. And why? Because he was the original franchise changer, right? We were some expansion team out of Buffalo. Nobody wanted us. We didn't want to be there. It's a hockey town. We were a bunch of lovable losers, except for nobody loved us. And then they draft Bob McAdoo, much like they drafted Blake Griffin, and he changed everything very rapidly. And they were a playoff a stalwart. Sadly, that couldn't get out of round two. So I agree, Bob McAdoo. Is that
– So we go Blake, middle left, and then where's McAdoo?
Far left.
Do we all agree McAdoo?
Far left.
Or agree McAdoo?
Yeah, I think so, right? I
mean, okay,
you got to have some original. You got to have some dude who's
And he
predates.
Was the MVP. He was the MVP.
Is McAdoo far left?
Yes. I was going to say, McAdoo, then BG.
McAdoo, then Blake.
McAdoo and Blake, and they were both drafted by the Clippers, so
that's
kind of
good.
Fun. All right, cool. Moving forward, let's go to William the Opinion Updike. Who's your third head on the Mount Rushmore of the Clippers?
Well, if my Kawhi is vetoed,
Oh my God. Kawhi,
wait, did it get, pass, is that what I missed? It got vetoed?
That's well, you, pass universally.
Oh, it has to be unanimous. Okay.
I disagree.
Listen, everyone's gonna say their opinion and then we can vote on it. We're gonna get there.
Right. Okay,
we got two
on,
already.
All right, I got one for you.
Yeah.
Sam Cassell.
Oh yeah.
Okay,
oh.
Yes.
You know Hank loves Sam Cassell.
Sam Cassell.
Hank hurled his camera.
And I will admit this has, like, I have been watching some more of those like highlights from that playoff series against the Suns in the times that were Thursday for basketball. And I'm also a little bit, I will admit to being like influenced by the fact of like how much he helped Shea last year. Like watching him work with players is like
it's a joy.
Yeah, I think it goes beyond like what he did as a Clipper player and like now in this second run with the Clippers.
He won a ring with
Doc. Oh yeah, he gets the double treatment too because he can have coaching legacy and player legacy.
Just like Doc.
He was definitely a franchise.
Because he's on mine. Now I want to say yeah, but we'll get there.
I'll put
we'll get
Sam
there.
On there.
Now I want to say Sam was on my list, but he was on my list. Do you remember that movie Total Recall?
Of course.
Where there was the guy who had like the face on his chest. For me, yeah.
I only saw the Colin Farrell version.
For how much I despised him for so many years until I really learned what Donald Sterling was about. I despised Elton Brand for leaving us until I learned what he was living with.
Yeah.
Mine was Elton Brand with Sam Cassell's face on his chest. Total Recall. Sam Cassell is what sort of finally brought that era's team over the hump into a real contender. And when Sam Cassell was on the court spray painting X's over the numbers on the court, right, like
16, 15, 14.
No one had made it feel that way to be a Clippers fan really ever. Yeah. But Sam Cassell,
that's a great pick.
But the truth is Sam Cassell was the one who turned the franchise around with his energy. But that's just about Elton Brand's personality. So I don't know. I could give up Elton Brand for Sam Cassell.
We actually won a playoff series in less than seven with Sam Cassell leading the team. So that's there's got to be something for that.
Chris and I were in Phoenix at the game that we lost.
Oh,
where
no.
It went to triple overtime. And before the game started, I said,
Clipper Darryl got us the tickets.
This game's going to go to triple overtime. And every overtime that happened, we were like, I'm freaking out.
This is horrible.
And it did go to triple overtime, but it did not end the way we
did. Yeah, no.
All right, so we're 100% in agreement for Blake and Bob McAdoo. I think there's got to be, if you go to the Clipper all-time stats, there's two guys that dominate every single category practically. It's either DeAndre Jordan or Randy Smith, and these guys are both the Cal Ripkins of Clippers basketball. They played like years worth of games without taking any days off. DeAndre has most games played. Randy has most minutes played. Randy has most points.
Well, we're forgetting one guy.
And then, of course, Chris Paul is all over all those stats as well. So I think
he has to be on there.
There's an argument for three.
He has to.
There's also an argument for two-time Clipper Sixth Man of the Year winner.
Okay, so this is what I was wondering when he was going to come up. Because
there's
me,
only four Lou spots, Williams though. It's crazy there's only four
I know,
spots.
Lou Will's got to be on
but
there.
There's
but
only four spots.
You could also argue that Jamal Crawford should be on there. But then again, you got to get it
I think
by –
Lou Will's more important. You
got to get it, it by groups.
Does it help to clear up space a little bit to talk about the fact that Kawhi Leonard still has not really done anything as a Clipper officially because no season has ended with him on the roster?
I wouldn't say not anything.
Well, nothing's happened.
Playoff seeding.
Nothing. That's it.
History.
That's it.
When we end the group stage as the first seed going into the round robin reverse play-in tournament, I'll eat my words. I will put him on the Mount Rushmore.
When he wins the dunk contest that you do in my above ground pool, jumping off the steps and dunking, it just doesn't.
It will happen.
When you're talking about the entire franchise, you have to have representatives of eras. You can't exactly have Blake, DJ, and Chris just because they're stat leaders.
The Clippers do not have eras that are worthy of memorializing.
But there never would have been. DJ and Chris Paul are because of Blake Griffin. I don't know that I think you have all three of them just because of stats.
Well, I don't want DJ on
there. That's fair. I kind of don't want DJ on there either.
DJ's off.
So Blake represents Lob City.
Yes.
We got McAdoo.
Representing the
We got Sam time. Cassell as oh, kind of that Lord. In-between
How
era,
can we
right?
have Cassell and not Kawhi?
Or not EB, or not EB, or not Kawhi. Or not Elton Brand. Or not
Elton Brand instead of Cassell?
I think Elton Brand instead of Cassell because he is the bridge between the knuckleheads and that 2006. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Is Elton Brand far right, though? Is Elton Brand all the way on their
Elton
right?
Elton Brand's far right because that's a really visible one.
And I would honestly say, just from my heart, I would say Patrick Beverley. But out of this generation, if you're not giving me Kawhi, then we can all agree it's got to be Lou Will getting that Sixth Man of the Year 2 years in a row. That series versus Golden State Warriors is a lot of why Kawhi and Paul George teamed up and said, let's take these junkyard dogs and become champions. And that was Pat Bev, Lou Will, and Montrezl Harrell. So you got to give it to Lou Will as the most prolific bench player
in
NBA history. Yes, a question from William the Opinion Updike.
No, it's me!
Yes, Burbank, you wanted to
speak? What about Doc Rivers as the third head? He was a player and a coach, and he's the one who is the glue for all these.
They got swept.
It's the same argument for Kawhi, kind of.
I like Doc Rivers because he did get us to the playoffs, and he is obviously our coach. But
he was also instrumental in the Sterling thing, like dealing.
Yeah.
You know, being he was thrust into that situation in between the management and the players and that whole thing. If we're including coaches, he's got to be on there.
Because he's also a player.
He also played. That's the only reason he can get in.
And also, we didn't get Kawhi until after he stopped being GM. So that was another contribution.
And he hired Lawrence Frank when he was GM. His only good move was GM.
Lawrence Frank.
To hire Lawrence Frank.
I mean, could we go McAdoo, Blake Griffin, Doc Sterling? I mean, Doc Rivers.
You've been having in quarantine. What a horrific sounding scenario. That
Doc
is.
Sterling.
The Halloween costume no one understands.
I mean, we're not actually erecting a mountain, so we can do whatever the hell we want, Hank.
But that's a good four, I think.
All right, so the four is, in order, Bob McAdoo, far left.
Yeah.
Blake Griffin, second left. Elton Brand?
No, Doc Rivers.
Doc Rivers, and then Elton Brand. On
and then Elton Brand.
Now we've got
and,
that
and
as our
we
four.
Have to know that if we are Western the JJ Conference champion, even if we get to the conference finals.
Yeah, who's getting bounced for Kawhi?
Doc is getting bounced for Kawhi.
Yeah, easy, 100%.
Doc.
I'll take it.
Because Blake can also represent kind of the Doc. You can kind of be like, oh, Blake also represents the Doc part too. For when we have to redo
when
we
got to
blow up that part of the mountain.
I do think it's been wonderful that they've stuck with Doc because other owners probably wouldn't have.
Some of the people who want Doc gone. Last year, we, for some reason, were on the Facebook groups more for Clipper stuff, just checking it out. The people on the Facebook groups were like asking for Doc's head when we were like 16-6. And it was like, what the hell is going on?
Right.
You guys spent a lot of time talking fans down on Twitter and on your podcast.
We do that a lot.
There's a lot of like, hey, we have the same record this year than we had last year. What are you all freaking out about?
It's like,
so we've agreed on those four picks, but like who were your personal four before we move on? I'm just curious.
All right, yeah. Who is each person's four?
So Hank, why don't you go first?
I was Bob McAdoo. Elton Brand with Sam Cassell popping out of his chest, Blake Griffin and Doc Rivers. So we're right on my list.
I had Blake, V. Stiviano.
Ooh, love it.
Because I was like, I made a fun one because it was whatever. Perfect. I did like
that's great.
I did Blake V. Stiviano, and then I wanted to do a little thing of three little of all the knuckleheads, maybe on top.
Like they're stacked,
That. And then World Be Free, because I think in terms of bust in stone, that would be great. I think the artist would have a lot of fun with World Be Free's silhouette.
All right, William, what do you got?
So I was gonna go Cassell.
Doing the big balls.
Blake Griffin. You know, that's an easy one. You know this. And then I was going to go Kawhi and Lou Will.
Excellent. I was going to say Bob McAdoo, Blake Griffin, Kawhi Leonard, and Patrick Beverley.
Yeah. Oh, I love Patrick Beverley so much. He's my favorite current player.
He should have just gone on the mountain just for just poking the ball out of LeBron's hands and making it go out of bounds on LeBron. Merry Christmas. That Merry was Christmas. The greatest was great. Christmas.
Oh, my gosh. It was the greatest defensive play. My favorite moment of the season so far is him blocking LeBron.
And it's right, his. It's like his. It's such a perfect Bev moment because that's going to be played for every Christmas Day highlight, every NBA highlight. That's an eternal NBA highlight,
and
which
I think
is pretty crazy
cool
to think about.
That next season is going to come back on Christmas Day. I think that's kind of rad. I think
what's crazy is that awesome. PTI has been hollering for that for like a couple forever. Of seasons.
Oh, yeah. Weird.
Saying like that's why. Cool. The unofficial opening day of the NBA is Christmas. Why can't we just open it then, take some games off these guys, stop getting ourselves into the postseason with nobody whole, with nobody healthy,
just
take them that way. I think that's, by the way, that is Patrick, of the two great Patrick Beverley moments, one is that Christmas block. The other one is him not wanting to get off of SportsCenter the other day.
Oh yeah. My God, we talked about that. Yeah, where he's like refusing to leave. I don't have a job right now.
He didn't have anything to do.
Yeah.
All right, so let's just gamble right now. When do we think the NBA is coming back? Pick a date. Let's see who gets it closest. I don't know what they win, but when do you think in July the NBA is coming back? When is the first tip-off? What day?
Fourth of July weekend to – too much conflict. Wow. It feels like a great.
Hank says 4th of July. Hank says July 4th.
Feels like a powerful weekend to go for it, and people can't necessarily be out barbecuing. So I'm going to go 4th of July weekend.
All right. I'm going to go Bastille Day, which is July 14th.
Smart. God. With all the weird stuff happening,
yeah. You never know.
Keep it global. Keep it global, NBA. What do you guys got locked on?
Yeah, I think it's I think it's July 31st. I think they sneak it in on the very last day of July, so we can still say we got it done in July.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm gonna go July 4th because I think there's gonna be some. It's gonna be a bad idea. I'm not saying it's a good idea.
You
but
are
I think
agreeing with Hank.
Yeah, I think there's gonna be. I think there's
I thought
gonna be
for
a
sure
bad
you would
idea.
Cover the spread and be like July 30th. Ha 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 ha. Take that up, Hank.
I'm not that guy. No, I'm not that Price is Right contestant.
You're not the
$1 like,
price
one penny
right.
less.
It is tremendously unrealistic to think that the NBA can be up and running and playing in 30 days. So, I have to say that probably William is far more realistic than I am. I could really see them trying to make a milestone.
Oh, I hope they do. I hope
go
they're
at
wrong.
It.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And it usually, some weird and usually 4th of July is when all these crazy free agency stuff drop. Like we're all at 4th of July barbecues. Then all of a sudden, what? Who signed where? Like that usually happens around 4th of July. Guys, Charles, Hank, I hope you're right. I hope it's 4th of July. I hope I'm right and that it's Bastille Day. And honestly, I hope you're wrong, William. I can't wait for July 31st. It's far away. Damn.
Wouldn't it be fun if they forgot to get some exhibition basketball and got to see some crazy fun, like matchups or some play and stuff. But I think I'm sorry to like go back and rehash old territory. If they start doing weird 1-16 seeding and completely reinvent the wheel for this, it's going to be a mess. They
I think
just
it'll
need
turn
to
off viewers too.
It's already so new for all of us, and it's already so different.
We need comfort. We need a warm blanket. Yeah.
We need comfort food, macaroni and cheese, mashed potatoes, and fried chicken, please, NBA. Like, that's what I want. Maybe some nice warm gravy.
Right, need a warm, warm blanket.
A warm Kia Clippers Christmas blanket giveaway, fleece blanket.
It's itchy.
It's real scratchy. Kia. Guys, thank you so much for doing this. This was a wonderful gift.
Thank you.
For us.
Thanks for having us. This is awesome. Yeah.
Absolutely. Let's do it again, please. Maybe when they make an announcement, that'd be kind of fun to get back together and see who was right and really rub it in each other's faces.
And we'll have to we'll have to redo the Mount Rushmore after we get the championship.
Absolutely. And so before we end, the Mount Rushmore, when we win the championship is Blake Griffin and then three guys who won rings, right?
Two guys.
Two guys.
So Blake McAdoo, two guys who won rings?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Blake McAdoo, Kawhi, and Pat Beverley.
or whoever.
Or Lou Williams.
Wow. Or Montrez.
No, Paul George.
Or Paul George. That's the safe bet. But it could be Montrez. It could be Marcus Morris. I don't think it'll be Marcus Morris.
To this moment, unless he fights his brother, unless he fights his brother during the Western Conference Finals, in which case maybe.
A bigger loss for us.
To this moment, I don't think that Paul George has been a bigger factor than Pat Beverly in this season.
No, that's absolutely fair.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah,
but agreed. We don't know what happened. Playoff P, it'd be great if he was not typical playoff P, if he was more effective than that.
He was great in Indiana.
Yes, he was.
And honestly, real quick before I let you go, Kawhi wins. I don't want to let you guys go.
Kawhi
wins the finals, gets finals MVP three times for three franchises, leads two franchises that had never gotten there to the first ever championship. Where does he go all time?
I mean, I think right now, I don't know. It's hard to say, I guess, all time, but he is the greatest player in basketball right now.
Great. Yeah.
Top five.
100% top 10.
I can't get into like one through five or whatever, but like it's got to be. If he goes three finals MVP in a row,
he's top five and it's like, not oof. Five.
No. But it's certainly him, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Bill Russell, right? I mean, that's your five.
No. You can put Wilt in there too.
Yeah. Oh, well.
It's not Kobe.
But they didn't do it with different teams, so you're right.
It's not LeBron James.
Whoa!
I don't know. Michael Jordan is one. Michael Jordan is number one. We can all agree. But you gotta
three teams is kind of crazy.
What about the Celtics?
It's a whole other thing.
What about the Celtics that won 17 finals in a row? Russell.
They were two-game series.
Let's also note this. It's not just about winning finals MVP and the ring with three different teams. It's that one of those teams is the Clippers, who literally before him would have never made the Western Conference Finals. So
there's a legacy aspect.
That may be the thing that is the most V of any MVP out there is taking this team. Although we know that
And the Raptors. I feel like that's insane too.
Does Kawhi get a statue with the Raptors and the Clippers if he wins a championship and finals MVP?
Many of the vendors at the stadium in Toronto, they're just very nice in Canada. Everybody gets a statue. They're not trying to exclude anybody.
Because if they never get another one and the Clippers only get championships with Kawhi, which who knows, that might only happen, he realistically could have a statue at both franchises.
Absolutely.
If they refuse to build Kawhi a statue, I would get a DUI so I would not be allowed in Canada.
Another one?
Do you think they'll have statues in Inglewood at the Clippers Arena?
Yes, it's what everybody does now. It's like the thing. Everybody.
Certainly, if we've won a championship by then, led by Kawhi Leonard, 100%. Also, Ralph Lawler's getting a statue. Who are we kidding?
Yeah, that's definitely gotta happen.
Well, Blake Griffin gets a statue. He gets his number retired. He gets all of that, I think.
Do you think Brandon?
Oh, I think Blake gets a statue.
Do you think Brandon Knight gets a statue on the floor, face down?
Yeah, him and Wes Johnson.
You can step on him as you walk into the Clippers Arena of Inglewood.
Yeah, there's a statue. There's a shame statue area.
Ooh, I love the pettiness of a shame statue.
Welcome to Shame Gardens.
Yeah, there's like that. There's like Wesley Johnson getting pushed down by James Harden.
Right. This is the Trey Tompkins wing of the Shame Gardens.
There's Donald Sterling sitting on an old bench feeding pigeons out of a paper bag.
There's was it Grant Hill who got hurt in the layup line? Grant Hill getting hurt in the layup line. It's horrible.
Oliwa Candy's got to be in there.
Getting picked. Yeah.
That was the easiest autographed jersey we secured, and it was like our second season. He got booed so badly, and we defended him, and we bought his jerseys. And in the final game, we went down to the court, and we're holding our jerseys, thinking, like, this will never happen. And he just goes, hey, you can let them on, because nobody wanted his autograph.
He said, hey, Michael Oliwa Candy, can we get your autograph? And he went, really?
That's not true, but it felt like that.
Man, he's like a crazy successful financier now.
Oh, great.
Baker.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's good,
good
to hear.
For him.
Those jerseys were rad because they had the red, white, and blue piping. And I one season got so frustrated, I just ripped mine off and threw it in the garbage.
Not me. I still have mine. And I'll wear it. I really had hoped to wear it in the locker room when we won the chip and we were going to like wear our ski goggles and be there for the champagne pouring and all of that. But
my dream was that they play the playoffs in Disney World and they do the finals in Disneyland. So we all get to go.
That would be great.
Again, they don't listen to me. All right, guys, I guess we should sound the horn before Zoom kicks us off. Thank you so much for joining us, Charles and William and Burbank Hank. Guys, as our guests, please, you get to sound the horn.
Burr, burr.
Oh, Williams was really good.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah,
sorry,
Charles.
Great.
It was a lot better. What are you going to do objectively?